Morning, everyone. You know, it's great to see you this morning. Someone just said, great to see you, just one. But you know, it's good to welcome one another, isn't it? The Longcroft welcome you this morning if you're visiting. If you're a friend of a friend or a neighbour or a family member, you're very welcome amongst us this morning. We are in this together this morning. We are together. So that means the kids are not going out. Great. You're in with us together, okay? And you look like you're going to behave so amazingly well. I mean, look at this. This is a picture of tranquility in this corner. Anyway, the main thing is, it is great to be together. But the Lord Jesus is here amongst us today, isn't he? He is here. And this morning, there will be a theme that just runs through of God the Creator. We have so much to be thankful for. But looking at creation and the Creator is an amazing thing. Let me just read this verse to you. Psalm 90 says this: before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. This morning we're going to look at creation, but even before that, God was God. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, let's love the Lord together. We have had some technical hitches, and I'm not sure how. Oh, Lord. I said a few quiet, strong prayers as I sat there. Lord, just help us with the technical things. He helps us in so many varied ways, doesn't he? Amazing. Well, you're very welcome this morning. I'd like to just start and just see if this works. Is that okay, Andrew? The video, please, yeah. Just an update there on John Ritchie, if you do want to visit John. Just a phone beforehand, because he could have gone to Broad Green, but we can lift up John in our prayers. That's from Gladys. Okay. Great. Thank you, Andrew.
Heavens declared the glory of God, and the sky shows his handiwork.
Through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that is made.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?
I will praise you because I am fairly and wonderfully made, marvelous at your works, and that my soul lives very well.
For you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them.
For by him all things were created, which are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and in him.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth.
Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the end, the earth. He will not grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
Ah, servant, Lord. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you.
And let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Good morning. Psalm 104 talks about the creation, about God and his magnificence, and in it it says, the trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, and in another verse it says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I think trees are amazing. They are, I was reading, you can check it all up in Wikipedia, can't you, but they are, when they're full of water, they can be even two-thirds made of water. They're a process that I think the amazing pipework of a tree is how it carries the water to the top of the tree, spreads it all out, and then shares it goes through the process of photosynthesis, which catches the sunlight, turns it into nutrients. Water's split into oxygen, so they breathe out oxygen. They're just amazing. We can't exist without trees.
Hi, I've been asked to share a few thoughts with you about the garden. When I'm gardening, I love gardening, and I was thinking about creation and all the things that I think about when I'm out gardening. And one of my favourite things on a frosty morning is going out and thinking about snowflakes and things. Got my little brooch on here, and I have this amazing book, and this really blows my mind about snowflakes. You can see there, and I'll go through, and when you think about every single snowflake that comes down, every single one is different. And when you think from when God created the world, how many snowflakes have come down, and not one is exactly the same. And these are the sort of things that I think about. So could you imagine how many million snowflakes have come down? And the other thing I was thinking about when I'm in the garden is sometimes when I'm gardening, I jump because I put my face in a spider's web and you can't see it. But when the sun comes, sometimes it catches it. And I've been thinking about this, thinking, sitting in bed, thinking, wow, you know, that's amazing. How does a spider get born and then all of a sudden know how to throw these things out? Like, I don't even know what they're called. And then it starts in the middle and it goes all the way around. And it just blows my mind, absolutely. And then, of course, there's the other thing about when the rain gets on it, you can see the actual pattern. And even more so, when the frost comes, and you can just see the whole of it. And my other question is amazing, I keep thinking about this, when the little fly gets caught in the cobweb, how does that spider know? And then he runs and grabs it, and it's just wonderful. I love creation and everything to do with it. Amen.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Jim.
Right. We've been asked, haven't we, Linda, to discuss all about creation.
Yeah.
And how, as gardeners, we like being in the garden, because we have an allotment, and how we like to be able to plant things in the garden and see what grows. So it's really special to think that we've been allowed to have this allotment and we've been able to plant a lot of things over time. Mm-hmm. So what we planted, Linda?
Potatoes, beans, beetroot, strawberries. It's been amazing.
So from the Lord, we've got these seeds here that we have, and these are for what we call broad beans. We've got a lovely flower, and we can get these in the ground, amazingly. Only just a tiny little seed like that, and it actually goes in the ground and it produces some beautiful beans that you can use them for your stews or your casseroles, or whatever you like, whatever Mary Berry's recipes you use. So the Lord's been so wonderful really to provide this for us. And we've been able to pray on the allotment.
Yeah.
We've had times when we've had opportunities to pray about things that perhaps outside of this situation we might not have been able to pray about.
Yeah.
So the Lord's given us a very valuable resource to be able to do things.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, we've had a good time and I think the Lord's blessed us.
Hello. I trained as a scientist through college and university and even post-university. And one of the things that really spoke to me when I was doing my A-levels was when we did a course on the structure of DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. As we looked at the details of that, the double helix, which was discovered by Watson and Crick in the late 1950s, and how the purine and pyrimidine bases are held together by hydrogen bonds and van der Waals forces. The whole structure of it just amazed me with its detail, its precision, and its accuracy. That something that could be packed into a subcellular compartment, the nucleus, unzip itself, be transcribed onto messenger RNA, and then used for protein synthesis to help build our bodies, is absolutely astounding. Nothing like that could possibly arise by chance. There is a verse in Colossians which just says that by him, that's Jesus Christ, all things consist. Somehow he put this together right at the beginning, and it works in such a marvellous, amazing, and wonderful way that this could never possibly have evolved by chance. That's why when I studied that, I began to consider there must be an intelligent design, God himself, behind all of this. Thank you.
Isn't that amazing? That's the word that spoke to me as they were doing those videos there. The word came out a few times, amazing, or amazed. We can be amazed today. And I'd like us just to stand and sing the splendour of the King. Can we do that? If your heart's just stirred even from that video there, we can now sing together. Okay, should we do that? We'll all stand up and sing. Have just some open time of worship. Okay, let's love our King and our Creator. The splendour of the King.
Oh,
him together. Worship you, Lord. Precious Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are the creator of all. Holy Lord. You're our creator. You stable. Lord, we come and give you love of our hearts, Lord. Lord, we want to worship you. Lord, you're a great God. Lord, you left man without excuse, Lord. Glory, wonder of your creation, Lord. We speak to you, Lord.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship you. Hallelujah.
I think of the uncreated one.
Stand up and sing this one, Jimmy.
One thing. loves to hear the praises of his people. And we're here today, Almighty God, to praise you and to thank you for every family that's here, who is very, very precious to you, God. And Lord, it thrills our hearts as an older generation see our young ones praising and loving you. There's nothing in the world that can take that away. Thank you for each child and each family that's here. But we are here to glorify you for what you've done in our children's lives and in our lives. We love you, Lord, and you are King forever. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Amen.
Good morning. Could you put my PowerPoint on, please? Now, children, I've got some numbers for you. You know that I love numbers. I'm here again to talk about numbers. Sorry, can't help it. Okay. Oh,
hold that thought.
This boy is a genius. Okay. Okay. Right. Children. We have many mathematical talks, don't we, Sam? Hold that thought. Okay. Can any other children see a pattern going on there? Can you see a pattern in my sequence? Can you see a pattern? I'll give you a little bit of time to think about it. Can you see a pattern? I must admit, I gave this to my year 8s a few years ago, and they went away and they did some research for me, and actually they taught me a few things, which was really great, actually. Okay. Can anyone spot a pattern? What do you think?
Is there a 4?
No.
There's no 4. It goes to 5. True. 4 is skipped out. I love even numbers, but there's... Yeah. No? Okay. It goes from 1 to 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 to 8. Have a think about it, children. Can you see a pattern going on? Those doing GCSE, you need to know this. Okay? So, Zach, you should know this. Do you know this? Good, good. Okay. Anyone else doing GCSE? Anyone else? Luke, did you know this? Good. Okay. Okay. Oh. Come on, what do you think, Molly?
I think I see the pattern.
What's the pattern? What do you think?
On the board, 1 and 1 make 2 and 1 and 2 make 3 and 2 and 3 make 5 and 3 and 5 make 8 and 5 and 8 make 10.
And so on. My year 8. Well done, Molly. So yeah, 1 and 1 make 2, 1 and 2 make 3, and 2 and 3 make 5, and so on and so on. Sam, what's it called?
The Fibonacci sequence.
The Fibonacci sequence. How old are you, Sam? It's 7, aren't you? How old are you?
Sam is 8.
8. Amazing. Okay, so the Fibonacci sequence, sorry, I should really use this one, shouldn't I? So, the Fibonacci sequence. So, there was a man called Fibonacci, okay? Now, where do I point it? It won't work for me. I don't think it matters where I point, does it? Which box? Any box? No? Anyway, okay. So, there was a man, can you just... Okay, so... called Fibonacci. He had another name, but he's known by Fibonacci, okay? And he thought, in a perfect world, he asked a question. How do rabbits make their families? How do they grow? How many after a year would you have in a perfect world? Okay, if all the things were perfect. Okay, and he realized you'd start off with a pair, and then after a little while, they'd have some children and so on, and it would grow, okay? And he found out, actually, guess what the numbers are based on?
Can you see the sequence? The Fibonacci sequence. Can you go on to the next one for me, please? So that was in a perfect world, and we don't live in a perfect world, do we? But bees. Anyone heard of a drone bee? Okay. Now, you have. Okay. So if you look at the bee family, okay, their family tree is based on Fibonacci. Okay. All right. So if you look at their family, that works. Okay. So he looked at different families. It wasn't Fibonacci. I don't know who looked at this one. But that's, they explored a bit more and found out the Fibonacci was in the bee family tree. Okay. Next one. And actually then they kept looking. And they looked at plants, and they realised that plants grow their, their stems, okay, they grow based on the Fibonacci sequence. How amazing is that? Next one. Also the trees. The trees are based on the Fibonacci sequence. How amazing is it? Next time you look at a tree, look how it splits, then look how it splits again, and it splits again, and it keeps splitting. Okay, next one. And if you look at the flowers, how amazing are flowers? Okay? If you look at the petals, now it's not always the Fibonacci, especially if one falls off or we pick, does he love me, loves me not, he loves me, loves me not. Okay, it doesn't always work, does it? But if you look at the number of petals on the flowers, you'll be amazed to know that petals are based generally on the Fibonacci sequence. How amazing is that? Okay? Look at different varieties based on that. Thank you. Okay? So, if you arrange the Fibonacci numbers in a certain way, you get this golden ratio, this spiral, which is amazing. Okay? How cool is that? Do you like that? Okay? Now, have you seen that spiral anywhere? Have a think about it. Have I seen that before somewhere? Thank you, Andrew. Okay, anyone looked closely at sunflower before? You've seen the seeds, how they're arranged. You know what? That's based on the Fibonacci sequence. Okay, next one. Okay, so the numbers in the spirals, if you look left and if you look at the spirals going to the right, they're based on the Fibonacci sequence. How amazing. Next one. Okay, pine cones. Anyone seen a pine cone? Must have seen a pine cone, right? There's loads in the garden out there, isn't there, at the right time of year. Guess what? Based on the Fibonacci, right? If you count the spirals as it goes around, how amazing is that? Sorry, I found a nice pretty coloured so you could see the light really clearly. I thought that was really cool. Next one. Okay, if you look at loads of plants. Anyone know what that was called? I haven't got a clue. Any? Whatever it is. Next one. Okay, and if you look at plants and how their leaves are formed on a plant, okay, it is arranged on the Fibonacci sequence. Next one. Pineapples. Who loves a good pineapple?
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you look at the spirals on a pineapple, okay, what's it based on, people? The Fibonacci sequence. Okay, next one. Okay, what about cauliflower? Or that funny looking one, whatever that is. Okay. What's it based on? Absolutely. Next one. The shell. Okay. Next one. Starfish. Okay. Next one. Even the waves. The spiral of the wave is based on that spiral. Next one. Hurricanes. Okay. The wind. Okay. The way that's created. Did you know that your body, you're meant to be beautiful if your facial features are based on the golden ratio, okay? Your arms, your hands, your fingers, your whatever. If you look at all of those, it is based on the golden ratio. How amazing is that? You know how they're all individual, aren't they? But, yeah, Fibonacci, okay.
Is that your finger?
That's not mine, no, I found that one. Sorry, whosoever it is. Next one. Have we talked about that? What is that, children? What is that? Do you know what that is? Sorry? DNA. We've already talked about DNA, haven't we? Yeah? And how amazing, thank you, Roger, how amazing DNA is and how everything is so packed into that tiny, tiny space. But you know what? The ratios of DNA is based on the golden ratio, the Fibonacci sequence, okay? How amazing is that? Just the smallest things in our body based on that. Thank you. What's that? Galaxy? Yeah, no, Mum, it's a galaxy. So the tiniest, tiniest of things based on the Fibonacci sequence, on the golden ratio. But the hugest things, all right, in the world. What's it based on? All right, what can you see? God's creation in everything, from the smallest to the biggest. How amazing is that? Are you blown away? Yeah? Okay. Next. Okay. Who read this verse already this morning? I didn't know what verses. I didn't know that you were going to read some verses. Do you believe what you've read? Okay. All things were made through him. All things. Who's him? Who's him? We talk about him. Who's him? God. Jesus. Nothing was made without him. Nothing. Okay? All things were made through him. Okay? And we had this one read, didn't we? Tim, is this you? Did you read this one? Colossians 1:16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Okay, I've got one more. Who did this one? Somebody read this one, didn't they? Yeah, I thought it was you. Yeah, absolutely. I will praise you. Who's you? Who's you? Yeah, God. We will praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. Thank you, children. Thank you, Sam.
That's amazing, isn't it? Helen tested me on that sequence and I didn't have a clue. God, see, what a confession, eh? Di, do you want to come out and do the kids? Yeah. I can have a song from the children now.
You've got one extra. Emily, will you do an extra one?
Okay.
Right, just before we start, we're going to do a song for you about creation. But last week, the children spent ages doing these beautiful drawings, and I thought, we are going to hold them up in the song, but I thought it might be nice if they just show you before we begin.
So would you all like to hold your lovely pictures up? Look at those colourings. How good are they? I bet you didn't know we had such neat colourings.
torchlight.
Commanded, let there be light, and light it is. God was pleased with what he saw. Then he separated the light from the darkness, and he made the light day and the darkness night. He made past as the morning came. That was the first day.
Then God commanded, let there be a dome to divide the water and keep it in two separate places. And it was done. So God made a dome, and it separated the water under it from the water above it. He named the dome sky. Evening passed and morning passed. That was the second day.
Then God commanded, let the water below the sky come together in one place, so that the land will appear. And it was done. He named the land earth, and the water which had come together he named sea. And God was pleased with what he saw. Then he commanded that the earth produce all kinds of plants, those that bear grain and those that bear fruit. And it was done. So the earth produced all kinds of plants, and God was pleased with what he saw. Evening passed and morning came. That was the third day.
Then God commanded, let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night, and to show the time when days, years, and religious festivals begin. They will shine in the sky to give light to the earth. And it was done. So God made the two larger lights, the sun to rule over the day, and the moon to rule over the night. He also made the stars. He placed the lights in the sky to shine on earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God was pleased with what he saw. Evening passed and morning came. That was the fourth day.
Then God commanded, let the water be filled with many kinds of living beings, and let the air be filled with birds. So God created the great sea monsters, all kinds of creatures that live in the water, and all kinds of birds. And God was pleased with what he saw. Evening passed and morning came. That was the fifth day. Then God commanded, let the earth produce all kinds of animal life, domestic and wild, large and small, and it was done. So God made them all, and he was pleased with what he saw. Then God said, and now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself. He created them male and female. God looked at everything he had made, and he was very pleased. Evening passed and morning came. That was the sixth day.
What brilliant readings, eh? Very clear. Children, and for the song too, wonderful. Richard, do come up. Hopefully Richard's here. There he is.
Do we have a microphone? So,
hi. Richard, what would you say is the strongest evidence for creation?
Overwhelmingly, design. If I could have the first picture. So let's go for another picture. And another picture. Another picture. And another picture. And another picture. And you can see, especially that last one, God has a sense of humour. There is a huge amount of design out there. Great variety of animals. Now we'll wait for this one. This one I want to do the... No, it's okay. I'm going to do a little experiment, right? So you are to face someone and you are going to smile at them. Could you face someone and smile at them? And now, will you look shocked? So the same face, look shocked. And now, look sad. The reason I've done that little experiment is that Stuart Burgess, who's a professor of engineering in Bristol University, he has basically produced a book on design. And by the way, Stuart Burgess was one of the people who designed the bicycles that we did so well in the Olympics. And there are three professors in this country: Professor Stuart Burgess in Bristol, Professor Andy McIntosh in Leeds, and Professor Steve Taylor in Liverpool. And they're all professors in science, but also professors in the engineering side of science. And of course, if someone's going to know what design looks like, it's going to be an engineer, not a biologist, because an engineer deals with design all the time. And so what Stuart Burgess points out is that the human face has 20 extra muscles, which give us the capacity to show expressions. And it's amazing. God has designed us in his own image, and part of being designed in his own image is that we can actually express ourselves through our faces. And I think it's really exciting. Now, this one here is an interesting little creature. It's a giraffe. Now, if I was a giraffe and I decided to have a drink, I'd get my legs splayed out and I'd go down like this and I'd drop dead, because all the blood has gone straight to my brain and blown all my blood vessels. Well, the way that doesn't happen for a giraffe is there's a huge number of devices in the neck and in the brain to stop the blood pressure getting too much. And that's a really interesting thing that giraffes have, which is part of their design. But now I've put my head down to drink, I decide to lift my head up because I think there's a lion about. And so I go, oh. I just fainted because all the blood has drained out of my brain. And I've now got no oxygen in my brain. Well, that doesn't happen for a giraffe, because another set of incredible devices are in place in the giraffe's neck. This is really an amazing feature of most animals. They have such incredible design features specifically for each animal's needs. But there's one other feature which is really interesting about design. If you go to the next slide. Inside every cell of your body, there's a universe of design. So not only a great design on the outside, but the inside. Do you know how many cells you have? I didn't know. 37 trillion. That's an awful lot of design. Now, you said there's a particular design argument that you quite like to use.
Yeah. So for me, one of the biggest flaws with the evolutionary system is symbiosis, because in an ecological environment, you'll have several different organisms that rely on each other to function. So for example, in a coral reef, you have the coral, and there's types of algae that grow on the coral. Without the fish to eat the algae, the coral will die because it won't get sunlight, because the algae will grow on it. The problem with that, from an evolutionary standpoint, is that the fish evolved several million years after the algae and the coral. So my point is that for any ecological environment to survive, all the organisms have to be present at the same time. So they have to be created simultaneously.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make, because in fact that's one of the points that Stuart Burgess makes. There's over-design, there's irreducible complexity in design, there's added beauty in design, and there's ecological design, which is where an ecological system requires everything to be in place for it to function as well as the individual.
Second question. So what is the most interesting recent development in this area?
Ah, well, thought you'd ask me that. There we are, we have a dinosaur. I even got one of the young people at school, knowing my love of dinosaurs, gave me the dinosaur card. And I have another dinosaur hiding in here. Come on, come on out. Now, here we are. His legs are all over the place. So if we go to the next slide. So we have a dinosaur there. Yeah, there we are. My dinosaurs. Now, the interesting thing about the dinosaurs is that we found, this next slide, soft tissue in the dinosaurs. And this is really interesting because in 2005, Mary Schweitzer decided to cut open a dinosaur bone and in the process discovered that there was actually soft tissue in there. Now, for 5 years, she had to argue with the scientific community because they said you can't possibly have blood, muscle, DNA in dinosaurs because they're supposedly 65 million years old. And but she said, but it is there and it's not contamination. And after 5 years, they did come round to that point of view. And since then, there's been about 85 papers published showing that there's been soft tissue found in fossils throughout the whole geological column, right from 500 million years up to the top. Well, that's not going to work because soft tissue only lasts thousands of years. Now, interestingly, this has been backed up by further evidence that Professor Steve Taylor's published a paper only last year showing that not only do these dinosaur bones contain soft tissue, but they also contain carbon-14. And carbon-14 only lasts thousands of years. So we have two confirming pieces of evidence that these bones are only thousands of years old. And if the bones are only thousands of years old, that means all the rocks that they're in are only thousands of years old. Which I think leads me on to your third question.
Yeah. what is the tastiest piece of evidence?
I thought you were dead last. I'm going to need you to help me again.
All right.
So, hold this. Okay. Now, I'm going to do an experiment here. You hold it with one hand, and you're going to have to hold these with the other hand. So, that's an awful lot of angel cake. Right, why have I got angel cake? Could we go to the next slide, please? This is called the Grand Staircase, and it exists in Utah, the north where Zion Canyon is and Bryce Canyon, all the way down to the Grand Canyon, which is in Arizona. It's over 1,000 kilometers long and about 1,000 kilometers wide. And the Grand Staircase is really interesting because we can see from the cliffs and the canyons all these layers of rock. And what's interesting is that they're all flat layers of rock, just like my angel cake, which is why I use the angel cake. Flat layers of rock show no erosion between the layers. There's been no time. Could you have the next slide? Now, just to confirm that, you can see my face up there. I went down the Grand Canyon in a raft, and I can vouch for the fact that, if you go to the next slide, that is true in the Grand Canyon, that every layer of rock was as flat as a pancake. Every division between every layer of rock was as flat. And yet there are supposedly millions of years between each of those divisions. I teach geography. That doesn't happen. Erosion would create valleys and gullies and so forth. So those, to my mind, speak of the fact that all those layers are laid down at the same time, which suggests to me what we have in the rocks is evidence for the worldwide flood. Rocks laid down at the same time, burying all the animals, so they are only thousands of years old. As a historian, I also know that that's what we find in all the legends around the world. In every continent of the world, there are legends of a worldwide flood brought about because of the sin of people, brought about, and only one family survives in a vessel. So if I see in history that's what all the cultures of the world are saying, and if that's what I see in the rocks, I come to the conclusion that must be what the Bible says. So that's why it's very tasty. I'll cut this up and you can have it to eat afterwards. That is the vision.
Carry on.
Yeah. So why is it that very few scientists accept this?
Right. Well, as you know, I tend to do my research, and I have tried to find what people have said in the scientific community on this subject. And generally, there's one thing that comes across me loud and clear. They don't engage with the subject. So this was produced by the American Science Association, and there's no evidence they've actually read any recent articles produced by the creation scientists. Richard Dawkins' book, which was his defense of evolution, showed no evidence of having read any of the creation scientists' work. Jerry Coyne's work shows evidence that may have read one or two things back in the 80s, but certainly nothing recent. Dennis Alexander, whose book I've lent and not got back, his book showed no evidence of having read any of the creation scientists' work. When I look at this one, this is an interesting one. This is Rocks Don't Lie. I was given this by one of the teachers at school to read. And all the arguments that I've read in the first two chapters have been addressed by creation scientists. And the reason why this person doesn't know that is because the only book this person's read is the Genesis slide produced in 1960, which is over 60 years old, and certainly 50 years before. So he's not really read anything. The same thing in philosophy. Whenever I come across in my studies philosophers who talk about this subject, I find that when I dig deeper, they've never actually read any of the material, or if they have, they've read one book back in the 1980s and assume that makes them an expert. This is even true of the most senior philosopher in the subject, who kind of does his work defending the scientists in court. And when I read his article on creationism, he has 20 or 30 books in his bibliography, but only two of them are on creation science, and they're all out of date. I think it's really quite important to understand, and I want to just say what John Sanford said on this subject, who is a very senior geneticist, should have won a Nobel Prize, and he wanted to ask this question: why, having produced this book on genetic entropy, has none of the scientific community responded? And effectively, on the floor, thank you very much. Effectively, he said he'd been an evolutionary scientist for 30 years. Only in the last 20 years he'd become a creation scientist. And this is his response. From the scientists in the field who are qualified to respond, I've only heard deafening silence. This is true even though I've politely requested fair-minded feedback after sending out complimentary copies of the book and my previous and my related scientific papers. The relevant scientists, even the one who were previously willing to dialogue with me to a limited extent, will not even respond to a friendly inquiry. This is very hard for me to understand, since science can only advance through open and honest dialogue. I think the answer to that question is they just don't engage with the subject at all, which is really sad.
Yeah. And how can we be equipped about the subject?
Right, this is the final question. And so the next slide. Creation Magazine, I put some copies at the back for you to take some if you want to outside in the foyer. The other one is the next slide. These are the three websites I recommend. I've put the copies out in the foyer if you want to get hold of it. But the third and most important thing to do is next. Enjoy. Next slide. God's beauty. Next slide. Even Hilbury Island. Next slide. All the gardens at Port Sunlight. Next slide. Or even the beauty of Longcroft. I think I often do this, don't I, with the inters. I will take you out and ask you to be quiet for a minute. And just look and look and drink in the beauty of God's creation. And I want to finish with this verse from the Bible, because we need to fill our vision with God's good things and not evil things, so that our vision is And this is what Paul says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue, or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fill your mind with the beauty of God's creation. Enjoy it and give thanks to God.
Thank you very much.
Isn't that wonderful? We need to be equipped, don't we? Make a defence, whether we're at college, university or work. We often get those poignant questions. Let's just stand and sing, O My Soul, Arise and Bless Our Maker. Let's sing that together before Dave comes and just shares from the Word. O My Soul, Arise and Bless Your Maker.
Lord, here we are. We've been exposed to a great amount of evidence. Evidence that demands a verdict, no doubt. And here we are, whether we're fully aware of it or not, in your holy presence. And in these moments, Lord, we make our on-purpose responses to you. Oh Lord, take away the scales. Take away the dullness. And may we be open and receptive to your full revelation in Jesus Christ. And as Richard's exhorted us, to behold your creation with wonder and to lead us to worship of the one who did all this with such consummate ease and creativity and yet came for us and died for us, that we should be yours forever. Thank you, Lord, as we close, that you have dealt with all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of our lostness, and you have made it possible for each and every one of us to know you intimately, personally, meaningfully, and to be truly fulfilled in being the people that you created us to be. We bless you for all these things and so much more. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Like us just to respond to the Lord. We'll sing, You Were the Word in the Beginning. Let's sing it together. And if there's that little yes, Lord, in your heart as you sing it, then you can release that. Should we do that and sing together? Love the Lord Jesus. You were the Word in the beginning. Let's stand up and sing this together. for our time this morning. Lord, thank you, Lord, just for being reminded of your amazing creation. But Lord, you the Creator, Lord, we're fashioned and made in your image, Lord, and we just want to worship you this morning. Lord, and as the day goes on, Lord, just to keep getting a glimpse of you again, Lord. And as Richard said, Lord, to enjoy you, Lord Jesus, to enjoy creation. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, I pray for those this week that are facing things. They would know that you're wonderfully powerful. That you are made, they're made in your image, Lord. And you look upon them as beautiful things, Lord. Lord, be in all our weeks this week, we pray, Lord. Lord, we love you and worship you. Amen. Amen.